Welcome back to A Little Faith. I'm Michael, and today I am joined on the podcast with Luke Gelino. Luke, welcome to A Little Faith. How are you doing today?
Thank you. Good. Doing good. Thanks for having me.
So today our conversation is going to center around a project that you undertook called the Ex-Christadelphian Study. And before we get into the results of that study, and you can kind of dig in and kind of share some insights that you had with our audience, I wanted to know, what was your motivation behind wanting to do this study?
Yeah, there's a few kind of parts to it. The main thing was, it's all kind of became a real actual idea back in COVID. So I didn't have anything else really to do, and nobody was meeting up anymore. And I thought that Zoom was becoming such a viable thing for so many people to not be intimidated by. So I thought that it'd be a good kind of time for me to actually reach out to everybody, because this is actually an idea I'd been thinking of in some form or another since, I think, my first notes on this topic were on the computer from, I think, 2008. So it's been a long time kind of gestating idea, and I never really knew how to actually logistically put it together. And then when Zoom became so prevalently used by everybody, it became a kind of an obvious idea. It's like, well, I can just do this from my home and not have to actually hunt everyone down and have like an in-person meeting and all that kind of stuff. So it just became that became kind of the main logistical push to do it. And then on top of that, also just personally wanting to know more myself about the reasons why they left and what we can do to fix it. And then COVID kind of gave me this kind of pessimistic view of this whole thing anyway. I was like, this is all so silly. You know, I'm going to see these people ever again. I'm going to ever leave my house. And all this kind of gave me this excuse to say, like, you know, why am I putting this off? Why am I feeling, like it could be embarrassing or awkward to talk about this, whatever, let's just do it. And if they don't want to do it, then, oh, well, you know, what's it going to matter?
You know, we talked briefly before we hit record there. And I think everyone in our community, they either have or should be thinking about why people would want to leave, but you kind of really personalized it by talking to individuals within your kind of criteria to want to know why they left. And, you know, you kind of approach this from a very kind of, I'll use the word, like, scientific perspective, mm-hmm. like a very formal research paper. So why don't you talk about kind of your rules, your requirements, and, you know, how you want to kind of just set up the study itself?
Yeah, my main rules about the people that I spoke to had to fit certain criteria. They had to be baptized at some point. I didn't want to pick people who, you know, had just maybe gone to Sunday school a lot growing up and actually been baptized, because I wanted them to make an actual commitment and then make a choice to no longer be a part of it anymore. That kind of showed that they had bought in at some level. They had to be under a certain age. They had to be in a certain area. Most of that was just for ease of contact, on not having to, you know, track down people from all over the country and all ages. I thought it'd be a good kind of do that as well. And also make sure that they had stopped coming a certain amount of years ago. I didn't want to ask somebody who just stopped coming a few months ago and, you know, make it too uncomfortable. So people who had seemed to have, you know, pretty decisively made a choice. And so that was the main rules in terms of criteria. And then my main rules for myself was just to try not to be judging them at all. Obviously not trying to kind of push my own agenda or my own reasons I may have supposed in my head prior to the meeting and said, oh yeah, this person, I remember when they left, it was because of da da da. So I used to have reasons I made up in my head about why they left, and I kind of told myself I had to approach it with an open mind. And I'd happened to learn in school how to do interviews and studies and things like that as part of my major. So I thought, well, I'll just, you know, I'll make this as you know, uh, as scientific as possible. I thought that might also help people feel more comfortable. If it felt like it was just a personal thing that might have made them think that I had kind of motive to convince them otherwise of their decision. So I was very clear up front, like, I'm not going to try to convince you to change your mind or whatever. It's just going to be a scientific survey, basically.
Yeah, I remember you in the class kind of made a little joke that technically the best person, a non-biased person, should be a non-Chrysadelphian in doing the study. But why would anyone who is not Chrysadelphian be interested in why people would be leaving a group? You are really interested from the perspective as a Chrysadelphian, but not from, as you said, the perspective of wanting to know why person X left, and then what can I do to solve that and bring them back. It's more of a, what could we do as a community to know why you're leaving, and then approach it as a group that this is how we should be changing our behaviors and our actions, not to necessarily help that one individual person.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that was the main goal. To any kind of actionable change would be something that I'd be able to do to our current community, as opposed to trying to reach out to people who had already left and who I'm sure have already had many conversations about it, many, you know, people confronting them in different ways about it. And I don't want to be just another person who was, you know, trying to sneak attack them with, oh, here, I'll do this study, but then at the end I'll try to tell them, hey, you should come to a meeting, or you should come. You know, I didn't want to do any of that. So I thought that would, you know, I just didn't want them to lose any trust that they had given to me, and they'd agreed to do, to talk about something very personal and very emotional and very difficult. That was a really tough decision for them. I didn't want to, you know, take that opportunity and then, you know, then try to make it even worse by trying to, you know, make it uncomfortable. So
let's dig into a couple of the reasons, the kind of takeaways that you learned. And I think there were kind of the two big things that I found as well. So, you know, you had a lot of great quotes from the study, and I think maybe we'll just talk about you. One of the things that you did as well that I really liked is that you didn't say, like, you know, person X said this, or, you know, brother X, you know, had this to respond. You made it very personal. You know, Matt Jones said this about our community. So one of the great quotes that I found from the study, and it actually was from Matt Jones, was he said, it became a lot more important than to be right than to be loving. Mm-hmm. And what do you think that this tells you about our community and why some members have left over the years?
Yeah, I think lots of people, even people who are currently in the, you know, currently practicing the religion, you know, will often lament the issues that they have with those people who are just, they talk to other Christadelphians who are extremely legalistic and very difficult to talk to, and difficult to have any kind of open-minded discussion about seemingly any topics. You know, I mean, we'll bring up something very simple at a business meeting about, hey, maybe we should, I don't know, change the cups that we put the wine in or whatever, and become this huge issue for certain people. And it, you know, these things can be very disenfranchising to people who, you know, might want things to change, not in any major way even, but just, you know, just to, in a way that they feel like they're better heard and better understood, or something that's more conducive to their feelings about the ecclesia. And when it's met with such aggression in some cases, and it just became clear to certain people that it was more important that people be right than to be accepting and loving of other people's, you know, feelings. And I thought people, after, you know, I haven't talked about this publicly or anything, but I talked to people after this talk was given. People have come up to me and said, you know, thanks for doing this, but I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I just can't worry about other people too much. Basically, you know, I'm going to focus on my walk and what I know is right, what I think is correct, and what I think is proper Christadelphianship. And if somebody else has an issue with that, I really just can't be bothered. I can't have someone else's, you know, issues in my bandwidth. I just need to focus on my own walk, which is an interesting response to me.
Yeah.
But I understand that to a certain extent, lots of stuff's going on in everyone's head, and it can be difficult to take on somebody else's problems, but it's obviously pretty clear biblical precedent that we are instructed to try to, help our brothers and sisters if they're having a hard time, to try to make it easier for them. So that's definitely a pretty ingrained, not just in Christadelphians, I wouldn't think, but just in anybody who is, strongly entrenched in a certain religious belief system, to, have that be the only thing that they need to think about, the only thing that they need to, respond to. So that was definitely a recurring issue.
One of the other big kind of respondents of why people leave had to do with kind of issues with today's social issues. So what would you say that you personally learned about the study that could help us as a community to kind of deal with these social issues going forward? Like how they're, as you said, they're not going away. So how could we as a community adapt to the change that is occurring within our society in general?
Yeah, I think it's always a good opportunity to just re-examine the reason for our beliefs and the reason that we do things the way that we do them, the reason that we respond to women doing things in the ecclesia, or the reason that we respond the way we do to homosexuality or whatever, and just make sure that we do have it right. I think we're a community that prides itself on biblical study and on having the correct answer to to everything, basically, and to kind of knowing how we respond as a community to these outside, issues, not outside issues even, obviously, because there are people in our community who are gay, or there's transgender, or there's people, obviously, half of the people in our ecclesia are women. And that is, that was probably the biggest single issue, was the treatment of women in the ecclesia and the limiting of their role or access to, certain roles in the ecclesia. So I mean, my main thing is, I have personal beliefs and what I think should change and things that I think could be done, but that's not going to be for everybody. So I would just say, wouldn't hurt just to, again, just re-examine it as an ecclesia and say, why do women wear head coverings? They have to wear head coverings to every, gathering. What's up with that? Or why can't a woman read the Bible from the podium? Why can't a woman, pray? There's lots of verses of women praying in ecclesias and prophesying and things, I think that would be interesting, just to kind of have people re-examine these roles, which many of them, I think, were decided on decades ago, or by people who made these decisions back when women didn't have as much of a role in anything. So back then it probably wasn't that weird that women didn't talk or didn't read or didn't pray, because back then they also couldn't vote or have certain jobs. So, I think that ours, sometimes society can kind of change the way that that we believe in bad or good ways. And I think that it's always never a bad reason to look more deeply at the Bible and what it's teaching. And so I think that was kind of my main push at the end, was, maybe it's a good time to look at this for yourself and make sure we still have it right.
Yeah, as you, these are social issues, specific to, we'll say, the role of sisters within an ecclesia. But I think it also kind of relates back to what we just talked about before about, how do you approach change that occurs within an organization? And a lot of them are kind of entrenched in what I would call tradition. And so, this is a defined role that we've created, hundreds of years ago, and we're not going to change on that because it is tradition. That's the way we do things. But as you said, things are changing in our world today, and we need to approach whatever issue comes up from a loving and also biblical perspective to say, yeah, is what we're doing because of tradition, or is it because we believe that is following what is actually occurs in scripture and define that kind of happy medium?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've had some responses to my talk that to me also seemed odd, where people said, well, we shouldn't let any outside forces or outside, you know, trends, quote unquote, or social issues impact our beliefs. And, you know, I think that can always needs to be done on a case by case basis. I mean, you know, since Christadelphians have existed, there have been Christadelphian ecclesias or gatherings or, you know, church buildings where Black people weren't allowed to participate, or if they did, they had to sit somewhere else. And there's been times where, again, where women had to sit somewhere differently, or where women had different kind of roles because, again, the society that the Christadelphians were in was different than the one that we have now. So I think it would never hurt us to, again, just re-examine the beliefs that we have and exactly why we believe the way that we do. If people don't want to do that, then they need to examine if they think the pretty precipitous drop of attendance and membership is something that they're willing to live with, and a trend that they're willing to see continue going down. Because if we refuse to make any kind of change to make more people feel more comfortable, then that's the reality you're going to have to live with. If people are not going to want to stick around, if there's absolutely no possibility of the community becoming more inclusive and more, you know, in line with their values and their beliefs and what makes them comfortable.
Yeah. When you're talking there, my biggest thing was that you can't divorce what's happening in the world today versus what happens within a religious group. You are going to be ultimately affected by what happens from an outside perspective. Like if we traveled back in time to, you know, early 1800s Christadelphians, you might have major disagreements with what was occurring at that time because of the way that they approached life from what just was generally happening within society. Whereas they might have some total disagreements from what's happening now because they don't live in our general world. But I think you have said it well. We need to approach this and with the point of view that if we want to continue as a group who loves Christ and looks forward to a future event, we can't just say, I'm right, you're wrong, and if you leave, too bad, that's fine. I think we need to be more of a loving group that tries to be more helpful for many people's different perspectives. What would you say, if you had the opportunity to kind of do this study all over again, would you do anything different?
I think I would have tried to, I think I tried to make it a little bit too cold and a little bit too scientific in that I didn't really ask for any other personal reasons why anybody would have left, as I made it about us. And I said, you know, what did the Christadelphian community do that made you want to leave? Or what could we do differently? Or what could we have done differently in your case or whatever? And then I mentioned this in my talk, but at the end of one of my discussions with somebody, I went through all these reasons of, you know, why they had left and what our community could have done differently. And then at the very end, she said, hey, but by the way, my father died when I was 15. And that really obviously was a huge stressor to my faith and was a hugely, you know, a huge turning point in my spiritual growth. And it's never really recovered from it, you know, spiritually. And that was a question I never really asked. I never really said, you know, is there anything else? And there's lots of reasons why people leave. And it's sometimes it's caused by personal, you know, they went through a divorce and they didn't feel they were being supported. They went through a death in the family, or, you know, there was somebody who I spoke to who, not going to say their name or anything, but I think is pretty well and out as a gay person. And I didn't ask that question. And it was brought up in discussion of, you know, issues that they didn't feel like gay people were treated very well by Christadelphians. And that was, you know, but they never actually said, because I am gay, I felt like I was you know, under constant scrutiny or whatever that was. So yeah, if anything, it might have been nice to at least give them an opportunity to say with any other personal reasons. And if anything, at least it lets us off the hook a little bit in that, you know, we didn't have anything to do with that person's father dying. And so, you know, if that's a huge stressor on that person's faith, then there's not much really many of us can do about that. We can try to be encouraging and loving as much as we can as a community, sure. But, you know, to a teenager who's going through that, that's difficult for anybody at any age, but, you know, at the very pivotal, you know, spiritual growth time for that to happen was, you know, it's to be difficult for anybody to get over. So yeah, I think it would have been nice to maybe ask that question. But yeah, apart from that, I feel like it was pretty well researched by not just me. And I ran through a few people and we kind of ran through the questions with a fine tooth comb. So I felt pretty well done for the most part.
Now, you had mentioned that there was going to be a potential follow-up study that you wanted to do.
Yeah. One of the very common questions or responses that I got from people after the study was out was people saying, you know, we liked it a lot. It was really great. Could you do a interview with current Chris Adelphians? And I'm not going to do a full-on interview again. Just with a whole lot of work. And also because I think I'd like to do just an online survey. So lots of people said, you know, in your talk, you would say, this person says this, but Chris Adelphians believe such and such. And lots of people who I spoke to who are currently practicing Chris Adelphians would say, you know, I don't believe that. You know, you're making it sound like this person was against these Chris Adelphian beliefs when I don't hold those same beliefs. So I think it'd be interesting to send out a survey to anybody to participate in. It wouldn't be tied to a certain location or age group anymore. So I'd like to just do a pretty wide-ranging survey for all current Chris Adelphians. I think that'd be a good kind of follow-up to see, you know, how many of us are having issues with our faith already? How many of us are having beliefs that don't jive with the traditional Chris Adelphian belief system? And if anything, that'd be a good opportunity to try to weed out anybody who is currently having doubts and issues before they leave. If someone says they're having major, you know, major problems, then it'd be good to kind of bring those up in this talk and say, you know, maybe we should address these issues before they become a bigger problem for more and more people.
That's interesting. And to see potentially if you have some similarities between those who are currently within the group versus the kind of takeaway from what you found in your first study.
Yeah. So the study helped me kind of shape the topics I'm going to mostly address in the survey. Mm-hmm. So women's roles, I think it's probably, you know, was and is probably the number one issue. So there's quite a few questions on that. And just, you know, I'm interested to see how many women think they should be doing more or think they should have a bigger role, how many men feel that way. And, you know, how many, you know, what, and I go through in the survey, I'm going to go through each, you know, every aspect and say, would you be okay with a woman exhorting or presiding, and kind of going down from there, exhort, preside, you know, read, pray, teach midweek class, teach CYC, you know. So it'd be really interesting to me to, you know, see if somebody has like a line as, okay, I guess under this level, they could do that, but not above that level, you know, because right now they really can't do much of anything that's, you know, forward-facing activities in the ecclesia. So it'd be interesting if I find out that the majority of people think, hey, yeah, maybe they should be able to read, then maybe we'll change the way we operate. But yeah, I think that would be interesting to see how everybody feels about these topics. And yeah, so that's kind of the next step. I'm kind of working on it now, but I guess when I'm ready, I can let you know. You can send it out to everyone on your side, because yeah, it's going to be a totally open survey for anybody to participate in.
Well, Luke, I want to thank you for taking the time today to chat with me and also to, you know, putting on this study. I had one last question. What would you say was the biggest takeaway that you learned personally from this study?
Yeah, I mean, I had a few on you know, the certain aspects of how people feel about women's roles and homosexuality and, you know, voting and things like that, that I thought were interesting. My main overall takeaway was just the overall level of love and grace and, you know, professionalism that everybody had for this study. And I was expecting people that I talked to, if they agreed to do it, which I thought would be maybe less than half, right, expected them to be just scorched earth, angry, you know, furious at, really just wanted to help. And I only had one person say no, and I like 23, 24 yeses. So I was really surprised by that overall and really impressed and heartened by that. And that the people who, many of whom were treated very poorly by certain, you know, members of the ecclesia on their way out or when they were kind of deciding to leave, so for the most part, just have a very loving and graceful, you know, feelings towards it, towards everybody and towards the study, and very happy to give me their answers. So yeah, that was the thing I was most taken aback by, is I was expecting a lot more pushback than I had gotten. So yeah, that was probably my biggest takeaway.
Well, again, thank you so much, Luke, for your time today. And of course, with all the work that you did in the study. And we will link up the notes in our show notes to have the link to your lecture that was given, and you can check it out on YouTube. And again, thank you so much, Luke.